76.
Finally Friday, huh? Kate hanging out with you here on America Tonight, coast to coast, all the nooks and crannies in between. Coming up, we're going to lighten the load, believe it or not. Yeah, we're getting weary, aren't we? Venting so much. We have reason to vent and reason to be concerned. Over the weekend, chill, hit some golf balls, shoot some hoops, go catch a flick. Some new movies are out. We have our cheap movie review. 10 minutes. We got it for you. But before we get there, we're going to vent a little. It has to do with the budget. Might have a government shutdown. That would be 2 weeks from now. How long does it last? A couple of days? A day? I don't know. Couldn't believe it would last more than a couple of days. But then the bottom line is, it would just be more posturing. And the whole idea is to cut and get something done. At least John Boehner, the Speaker of the House, says that's what we have to do, and I agree. Because how can you balance this sucker? How can you keep operating this way? You cannot continue to operate this way. We can't pay it back. There is no master plan to pay it back. There is, well, I guess we could always borrow from China again, right? Other than borrowing from China or somewhere else, why? Why? It's fair to ask that question. The deficit is ridiculous, and we are just drowning in it. We all know this, though. I'm stating the obvious. I am the master of it right now. But it's daunting to think of the task at hand if a lot isn't cut out of it. I really, honestly, there's not going to be any Social Security if you were counting on getting at least the money back that you paid in. And it's just not a path that we can take as a nation and think that we're going to be able to compete and continue to hold the mantle, you know, hold on to it tight, that we are the number one country, the number one superpower, because, boy, that's disappearing. I'm telling all of you, in fact, I'm doing it myself, you better learn Chinese. Here's my first lesson for those of you who can see me. I honestly am starting to learn Chinese. We're going to start having a little section about languages you might want to learn so you're up to speed when people aren't speaking English around you. And I'm serious. I'm doing it. I'm doing it anyway to find out about the culture, but I'm doing it because I really think we might need it. Here's what Senator Jeff Sessions had to say from Alabama about the deficit.
What fantasy world do we double our gross debt to $26 trillion and then say we're not adding to the debt? This is a serious matter. And to tackle our fiscal challenges, we need to work together, and the president needs to lead the nation in an honest conversation. But we haven't seen from our president the willingness to look the American people in the eye and have a candid conversation about the challenges and what we will have to do to solve them. The message seems to be there is no problem. Significant reductions in spending may not be easy, but the reason they are not easy is because we've been heading in the wrong direction for so long. So, yes, we will have to make some tough choices, but they will put us on the right road. The road that leads to a better future. And, Mr. Chairman, we absolutely need to reform taxes. Thank you for raising that point.
Well, so he's stating the obvious, too, and it's what we keep on saying and what many of you know and what we've discussed over and over again on America Tonight. We've had people on to discuss it. Clearly, this just can't continue to happen. It can't, because we will never get on that right road, and it is beyond fantasy time now. Well, so you just have to make the cuts. You have to make the tough choices. And unfortunately, the choices wouldn't be so tough if they had been taken care of before. If it was just a little bit, we're just spending a little over, but we're way beyond that. Dale patiently waiting in Illinois. Let's see if he's still hanging around. Hey, Dale, thanks for joining us at the top.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call again, Kate.
I just want to say how disappointed I was that you were making fun of your husband and my flip phones. You know, hey, we just want to talk on them. We don't want to order lunch on them. You know what I mean?
All right, so just so you know, track phones are known for drug people get track phones and then they dump them because they're so cheap. So I'm hoping you don't have a track phone, but I know you're talking about the flip phone.
No, I don't have it. Actually have a track phone. No. Oh, hey. Okay. Well, being that I'm not a drug dealer, I guess I didn't,
very
didn't
nice.
Get into that one enough time. I wanted to comment about a couple of things. You know, these kids up in Iowa, you know, the wrestling matches that I've seen, you know, you have one of the wrestlers is usually, you know, kind of at advantage where he's grabbing his opponent in the chest area.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes lifting up a leg and getting close to the crotch area.
Yeah.
That's really, I mean, that is just a tough call.
It is. It is a tough call.
These girls certainly have a right to compete. But I just, I guess I'm just too old to understand all that, Kate.
But you know what, though? They did have the right kind of equipment, if you know what I'm saying. So they, everything was, if anyone's touching anything, they had stuff covering all of it.
Yeah.
I mean, almost like a guy, let's just cut through it. It's like a guy wearing a jock. That's what they do. They do that when they wrestle, don't they?
Well, I would think so.
Listen, I went to school in Cherry Hill, New Jersey, and they had them then, so I'm assuming that tradition continues. But yes, it is a tough call. That's why I said it's tough. I understand. And he felt probably uncomfortable.
Yeah, I mean, when I was playing sports, I had a jock strap. I was called that enough times. Called a jock strap a few times. I guess it's just gone past me,
it's
I guess,
tough.
Kate.
It's
all
tough.
I'll say about
it's
it,
it's I, tough, except for that all the other guys that wrestled them, they had no problem with it. They said it wasn't weird, it wasn't uncomfortable, and they had all those meets. And that's how they got to that position in the first place.
Yeah.
They just ran into a kid who just couldn't do it.
Yeah, I guess the that part of it has passed me by, and I and I accept that. But on the more serious matter, I could tell the frustration in your voice over the situation in Mexico. How bad it is. And, Kate, I don't know how else you can deal with that situation other than just flat going down there and start killing these people. I mean, how else you can't do it diplomatically anymore.
No.
Our people are down there. Did I understand you that they were not armed?
No, you can't. Mexico won't allow our agents to carry guns.
Well, I don't, you know, that's just
ridiculous.
Ludicrous.
Yes.
That's ludicrous. We gotta put some gunships and stuff, whatever it takes. But we can't tolerate this another minute.
No, I wholeheartedly agree with you. We can't. That's another situation that's beyond. We've waited decades and decades and decades. We're done with that. You have a great weekend, Dale.
See you, Kate.
Dale might be going to the movies. Hopefully he's going to listen to our cheap movie review. That's next.
You really can lose weight while you're sleeping. Guaranteed. AffinityDiet.com introduces Lose and Snooze and the One Day Diet. Great tasting Lose and Snooze from AffinityDiet.com is the first step in our guaranteed weight loss system. Lose and Snooze will help your body get a deep restorative sleep without the harmful side effects of pharmaceutical drugs. And during deep natural sleep, your body starts to shed unwanted pounds, build lean muscle, and lose inches. Add AffinityDiet.com's One Day Diet waivers and your metabolism keeps keeps going with all the vitamins and minerals you need with no rebound effect. But don't worry, you're never more than 24 hours from your favorite foods. Learn more about Lose and Snooze and the One Day Diet at AffinityDiet.com, spelled A-F-F-I-N-I-T-Y diet.com, or call toll-free 855-663-3438. That's 855-663-3438. Finally, a diet that succeeds where others have failed. From AffinityDiet.com.
Gold isn't for you? Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms.
I get it.
You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realists, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30% while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should too. Find out what they know. Call us and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well, free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
The largest part of gaining radiant health is detoxification. You can drink ionized water, cleanse your intestines, eat a perfect diet, and even take lots of quality supplements, and in many instances, only make minimal progress. What is the key to detoxifying your body of mercury, heavy metals, chemicals, and drugs? It is glutathione. Glutathione is the master antioxidant used to detoxify your entire body. It stops free radicals, keeps cells young, and reduces inflammation. One World Whey protein powder may be able to raise your glutathione production by 64% or more. One World Whey is more effective than any other whey protein powder on the market because it is unheated and from grass-fed cows. All other, quote, cold-processed whey protein powders have been heated and damaged by 15% or more. One World Whey comes in three delicious flavors. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
All right, time for that cheap movie review that I'm pushing here on America Tonight. Kate Delaney hanging out with all of you. I might go and catch a movie. I'm going to be honest. I haven't seen The Fighter yet, and I really want to see that movie because now I've read more about it. I used to be a big fight fan, and I liked the story, so I might do it. I might go and see The Fighter. But there are a couple of new movies that are getting some buzz. I'm going to start with the one that's getting the least amount of buzz. However, we'll probably get an audience of maybe college students might go and see this. It's called The Brotherhood.
Are you ladies freshmen?
Yes!
Here you go.
What's this?
So nobody gets confused.
If you want in, you got to do this. Go in and get $19.10 because our fraternity was founded in 1910.
The other pledges are doing this too, right?
Yes, because just like you, they want to be Sigma Theta Kai. Brother or bitch, what's it going to be? Because I know a few sororities that are looking for members too.
I need all your money now!
We wanted to figure out the best way.
I don't understand why we can't go get him help.
Is that the doctor?
I'm a med student. What do you want me to do?
Taking a hostage didn't make things much easier.
He was going to tell the cops about us. This is the only way to protect us.
Mike?
Adam?
Where's this guy?
No! Sound like the 4th of July out here. You having a party?
You're a leader, Adam. You're supposed to lead the guys coming up on
you. You put him up to the station.
You don't have any other alternatives, so before we waste any more time, let's go.
Who said we can get through this if we all just stick together?
All right, so that's The Brotherhood, and The Brotherhood is a movie, I mean, you can tell it's one of those out-of-control things where it's not supposed to be what it seems. So what is supposed to be a frat kind of deal, it goes off the tracks, like has happened in the real world. I can tell you some terrible stories I've heard about hazing and getting into a frat, some of the things that have happened to people, not necessarily on purpose, but they turned out very, very ugly. And that's what this story is about. The story is kind of based loosely on some of that. The guy's a college freshman, and he's blindfolded. He's in a van, and he's trying to go through this initiation process at one of the frats, and then it gets out of control. The movie is a short movie. It's like an hour and 20-some minutes. The movie's directed by a pretty decent director. I've seen some things he's done before, a guy named Will Cannon. And there's an audience for it. I think there is an audience for it. But mostly college students or high school guys, I'm thinking they might be interested in going to see that one. Here's one that will probably get the biggest bank. More people will buy tickets to this. It's called Vanishing on 7th Street.
Comes up later.
Every day.
More people just gone.
The light.
The light's protecting us.
Something too, didn't you?
Our bodies, our faces, and the shadows.
Oh my God.
The whispers.
Hello?
All of us have seen them.
It can trick you. Do not trust any life other than the one that you hold in your own hand.
Whatever's out there is in here. We need to get out of this soon.
They're out there.
We have to adapt.
Got enough life.
Okay, so names you would recognize in this are there. John Leguizamo's in it. Hayden Christensen. Dandy Newton's in it. It's a blackout. The city of Detroit's in darkness. Only a few people remain when the sun finally rises. And it's a bunch of strangers trying to get food and drink and escape the craziness. It's like a horror flick that's gotten pretty good reviews. I think that'll be big. People that are into that genre will go and see it. Let's put it that way. And then there's this other movie also that probably could do okay ticket sales wise. It's gotten a lot of previews at the theaters. It's called I Am Number 4.
I'm not who you think I am. My life is a lie.
I love it out here.
I never see you with anyone. No. You can't stop what's coming for you. Anyone see what happened? We should get moving.
They're coming.
All I ever do is wait for my life to start.
You keep your head down.
I know how to blend in.
Who are you?
I've got this feeling that there's something that I missed.
Where did you come from?
There were 9 of us hiding all over the world. They are hunting us down one by one. The first 3 are dead.
Where is the boy?
I'm next. I'm number 4. This is my home now. I'm not leaving.
No idea how many others have made sacrifices so you could live.
You have no idea what I'm capable of.
I think you get it. Action, adventure, sci-fi. I think this one's going to be pretty good. And the story was told a little bit there in the trailer. I don't want to give much more away. It's a DreamWorks deal. That might be a good one to go and see. Stay with us.
It's a new year full of uncertainties. People are being laid off in record numbers. The price of food continues to rise, and the economy continues to falter. You know that you need to prepare, and maybe you've been putting it off, but the time to act is now. That's why you need to visit OrganicaSeed.com. At OrganicaSeed.com, you'll find one of the largest online selections of heirloom seeds and survival seed packs, as well as the giant vegetable seed collections that can feed you and your family for years. Imagine growing your very own fresh vegetables, wheatgrass, fruits, herbs, rice, tea, coffee, and tobacco. With detailed growing guides available to you at no charge, you can maximize your harvest and investment. And the best part? All orders ship within 24 hours. So head over to OrganicaSeed.com. That's OrganicaSeed.com. OrganicaSeed.com today.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
There's mounting evidence suggesting that there are people, governments, corporations, and whole professions intent on short-circuiting humanity's well-being. GMO, food legislation protecting big agriculture, the attempted elimination of vitamins and alternative medicines. It seems their hand has been tipped. They want to dictate your health, wealth, and your longevity. Whatever the outcome, we have a solution. Wild edible food. Why worry about food when all has been provided? We imagine that we were ejected from the garden and never invited back, but the garden's still here. There is an endless wild abundance which grows all over our green earth, just waiting for you to wake up and see it. Let author Linda Runyon teach you how to see, know, get, prepare, store, and eat wild edible food. Save money, add nutrition, and ignore the noise when you go shopping in nature's supermarket. Go to ofthefield.com and get started today. Or call 1-888-51-EAT-FREE. That's ofthefield.com or call 1-888-51-EAT-FREE and begin to see a different world.
Hello folks, this is Steve Shank. This week we introduced a new product from eFoods Direct, corn chowder. And let me tell you, its homemade flavor is absolutely amazing. You know eFoods, we've brought you the best food on the planet for years. As you know, we pioneered a line of quick fix meals that are super easy to fix. Obviously, winter is upon us. You can save 20% on the wonderful soup and bakery special. It's a lot of food for less than a dollar a serving. It includes the new corn chowder I told you about and the other wonderful soups. It also includes the delicious cornbread muffins and buttermilk biscuits to go with the soup. So you have great food you can serve this winter or jumpstart your food savings account for the future. Saving 20%. Call 800-409-5633 on the web, efoodsdirect.com/Alex. That's 800-409-5633 or on the web, efoodsdirect.com/Alex.
The food storage industry leader has done it again. Introducing FDG Clubs and Survival Bucks from the Freeze Dry Guy. For over 39 years, the Freeze Dry Guy has served various government agencies and the private sector with the finest in storable foods and emergency rations. If you've wanted to build emergency food supplies but couldn't afford it, now you can. Go to freezedryguy.com, click on products, and look for the Freeze Dry Guy Clubs to pay as you go. Now you can build food storage without going into debt. Choose from a payment range of $95 to $450 per month. Our clubs work with everyone's budget. Plus, when you join Freeze Dry Guy Clubs, you'll get additional rewards. For example, this month, get 10% back in survival bucks on all purchases in the Freeze Dry Guy product line, plus free shipping within the lower 48 states on any order amount. Hurry, go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. The Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Be joined by our next guest, who's in our virtual green room right now. He's probably got expensive taste, so he's putting down that $10 latte. No, I'm just kidding. So anyway, let me give you a little background on David Mora. He advised 5 Nobel Prize winners. Check it out, 12 winning global presidential campaigns, all that. He's worked with so many of the top dogs, top business leaders in the U.S. and the world, really. He's developed 10 strategies for Democrats for 2012. David Mora is the vice president of a core strategy group and founder and CEO of DMG. He can talk about a whole lot of things, and we're going to talk about the Middle East. David, thanks for coming on with us. We know you're busy.
Kate, good to be with you.
Let's talk about Egypt first. Your reaction initially when everything exploded in Cairo and Alexandria and the square and whatnot, and then the 18 days that ensued, what were you thinking when Mubarak eventually left?
Well, it is a new world in terms of the information revolution. We say it every year, but then that revolution takes us to yet another level of complexity, volatility, change, really. I mean, all of us, all of your listeners have to deal with the kind of change driven by this information revolution. We all got to watch it on television this time. It was a remarkable thing to see. I think very, very interesting. Two quick points. One, we don't know how it's going to turn out, so we've got to be a little careful here. And two, the U.S. didn't play that central a role. I mean, Twitter and Facebook were almost as important as U.S. foreign policy, or in some ways were part of U.S. foreign policy here.
Do you think it was good that the U.S. didn't play much of a role? Was that the right way to play it for President Obama?
I think that's correct. I mean, I think, you know, just with a little bit of maybe too many voices speaking at one time, it was, in my judgment, well handled. Again, we don't know how this is all going to how this is all going to play out. And most revolutions don't end up happy, you know. I mean, I was in the middle of the Philippine Revolution in 1986. You know, people got pissed afterwards. You know, the Russian Revolution, the French Revolution. There's lots of examples of the expectations not being met after a revolution takes place. So they've got a lot of hard work ahead.
Yeah, no kidding. So I know that you've developed 5 signposts for recalibration. And when I say recalibration, in talking about Iran, what's happening in Iran, Middle East countries in general, not just Egypt, for the mode of where we're moving, you call it, what do you call it, molecules in motion.
It's the kind of change we're all seeing today. We're seeing it in business, the businesses we work with, the CEOs we work with. We're seeing it as we dealt and worked in foreign policy. Yeah, I think, Kate, it's a chance to reboot American foreign policy. In my judgment, to pivot off this Egyptian, just this remarkable change, and I think a successful management of this crisis, potential crisis by the administration. The administration's foreign policy, it seems to me, has to become more strategic. We've got to step back and be more proactive. We all know with the budget situation that we're all listening to and watching today, we have to do more with less. Therefore, U.S. foreign policy has to become more smart. We have to do more with less in government. We have to do more in smarter ways in terms of U.S. foreign policy. We've got to reboot and step back and build a strategy for where we're going and America's role in the world.
Yeah, so what do you so let's say that you have a role in this strategy-wise. What are the first things you say have to happen?
Well, I think, you know, President Obama has to a large extent followed the foreign policy of George Herbert Walker Bush. I mean, you know, it's been to some extent a pretty centrist foreign policy. There's not a lot of difference in the Obama administration foreign policy versus his predecessor's foreign policy, George W. Bush. And I guess they continue. They've got to rise above partisan politics. Neither, you know, the Wilsonian approach to the world, the neoconservative approach to the world, neither of them makes a lot of sense, nor does maintaining some kind of autocratic status quo. You've got to find a way in that center to rise above politics. We've got to do this, by the way, domestically, and find that strategic center. We've got to ratify, for example, the South Korea, Panama, Colombia trade deals. We should be normalizing Cuba relations, continuing to outreach with Russia. Thankfully, the SART agreement was ratified during that lame duck session, rather productive. Number two, we've got to figure out how to help push democratization around the world without getting too much out there in front of it. If we do it too quickly or we brand it as American, then it may backfire. You know, these movements, we see it in Egypt, they have to happen indigenously. They have to happen within the countries themselves. That's why organizations like NDI and IRI, the National Democratic Institute and the International Republican Institute, excuse me, are so critical, you know, because they push out the Karzais, the Assads, the Salis, you know, the people that we're seeing governing Yemen and Egypt and, you know, all kinds of countries around the world in the Middle East that we got to be worried about. And thirdly, we need to create a youth policy. An outreach to youth. 30% of the region is made up by youth. 25% of them are unemployed. You know, so if we don't begin to look at the world through the lens of the next generation and outreach effectively to that next generation with educational exchanges, for example, we're going to be in big trouble.
Yeah, well said. And you see, you mentioned Yemen, of course, is one of them. But in looking now, we're starting to see as those protests are across the Middle East, and what's happened in Egypt now has spread. And then, of course, Iran, we saw what happened before the elections, and then we're back to the same thing. And then there's cries to execute some of the people who oppose Ahmadinejad, but I suppose that's nothing new for that regime. How, when we mix this all up, like you say, being very careful, I mean, this is a really tenuous situation in the Middle East, isn't it?
It is. But, you know, we've been going nowhere in the peace process, so maybe the molecules in motion, as you just said, gives us some new opportunities. You know, maybe it focuses Israel on putting the right kind of deal together, and maybe Netanyahu can become Nixon and go to China. You know, maybe that's the man who can finally get some more stability to that region that's not seen much stability. You know, I think we have to continue to be outreaching. George Mitchell's the best in the business at this. He must be getting tired by now. He's been working on this for 2.5 years, and it seems like we've, you know, progressed like 1/16 of an inch, you know, and then it all gets jumbled up after that. But, look, I think change is opportunity. I say this to people in business. I say this to the top CEOs in the country we get to work with. I say this to candidates we work on campaigns with. Change is opportunity. You know, we preach this insurgent approach. The Underdog Advantage is my book. And, you know, the insurgent approach, the underdog approach just loves change. The insurgents, the underdogs love change because they figure change will work for them. So I'm a little bit optimistic about some changes in the Middle East that may be bringing some more peace to that region.
Yeah. We'd be remiss not to ask you about this because I mentioned it, too, at the top, the people that you advise and that you've come up with 10 strategies for Democrats for 2012. Can you share some of those with us? What's the strategy?
Yeah, I mean, I think the president, I worked on the campaign. We did 12 winning presidential campaigns, and working with candidate Barack Obama was one of them in 2008. I've not worked for the White House or with the White House since. And I think he's, you know, I think they've done a remarkable job after the lame duck, after the midterm loss during the lame duck session. He's learned as much or more as Bill Clinton in 94, as Ronald Reagan in 82. Both suffered tremendous midterm losses in their first terms. And he's really grown as an executive. But my quick ones are, one, get into that insurgent position. The Obama campaign, forget who you voted for, ran this remarkable insurgent campaign. I define that as playing offense, leaning forward, controlling the dialogue, you know, taking some chances, being bold. And for the first 2 years, they weren't running an insurgent strategy. They weren't, number two, owning that word change that won them the election. Hillary Clinton would have been president if she could have gotten a hold of that word change. Instead, she fought that primary battle against Obama on the word experience. And number three, define the future. I think the president began to do that in the State of the Union address. He's got to continue to do it. Winning the future is his phrase. It's got to become meaningful like Reagan did. You know, I wasn't as big a fan of Reagan as I am now. I was working on some of the other side often. For Senator John Glenn, for example, on the Hill. And, you know, he was good at defining the future. He was also very good at rising above politics, finding some wisdom in that strategic center. That's what has to happen on this budget debate. That's what absolutely, you know, this is why Chris Christie and Andrew Cuomo, you know, are in these very, very high levels of approval now. You know, people that tell the truth right now as leaders and rise above politics and find some progress in some kind of sensible place in the center where all the action really is. It's not all the way on the right or all the way on the left on cable TV channels, respectively. It's in the center. That's where it really happens. Look at how Reagan really governed. Look at what Clinton did when he recovered from those midterm losses. And I think the administration's done a great job on communications lately. You know, I was arguing a few weeks ago they had to continue to do that. Again, like Ronald Reagan, simplify and focus your message. Nobody has time to remember. What did the administration stand for in the first 2 years? Can anybody give me a theme, a message?
Right.
I think it was healthcare, wasn't it? I'm not sure. It was about 8,000 things.
Yeah.
So, I mean, those are some quick ones, Kate, but I think they're beginning to do it. The Tucson speech was a remarkable speech. Guess who wrote that speech? The guy that wrote the last remarkable speech, the speech on race in Philadelphia, President Barack Obama. I mean, you know, when was the last time we had a president who could write speeches like that, let alone deliver them?
Yeah.
The new staff, daily, and, you know, I mean, you just start to see a new tone, and I'm just hoping they start leading on this budget issue, that they start following advice piece number one, control the dialogue, be bold, play offense, be an insurgent.
Yeah, it was so well said. Absolutely. I love that. Be an insurgent. And change is opportunity. Anybody listening to us can take that and run with it, I think, in whatever you do. David Morey, thanks so much for joining us on America Tonight. And you mentioned it. Your book is The Underdog Advantage. Pick it up. Thanks, David. Tonight, we have Fair or Foul on the heels of that conversation with David. And that includes, are you collecting light bulbs because you're worried you're not going to be able to use them anymore? I was thinking about it today, looking around my place. I might have to start collecting some of those light bulbs. What do I mean? And is it a fair or a foul? Also in Portland, just say no to perfume. They're banning scents. How do you do that? We'll talk about it next.
Men, take control of your prostate health without the risk of nasty side effects with Prostate Secure. early detection, regular prostate exams, and PSA tests are a must for men over 40. Listen, if you have symptoms of an enlarged prostate but don't want to take a drug with possible nasty side effects, or if you're over 40, then use Prostate Secure, a natural dietary supplement for men. Prostate Secure is a scientifically formulated blend of clinically significant amounts of natural ingredients. It brings together the most powerful plant sterols like beta-cytosterol and saw palmetto, along with antioxidants such as vitamin D3, resveratrol, and lycopene to support good prostate health, proper urinary flow, function, and more. Check out ProstateSecure.com. Order online and save 10% with promo code SAVE10 or call 1-800-239-9432. That's 800-239-9432. Or visit ProstateSecure.com. Take control of your prostate health naturally with Prostate Secure.
At HempUSA.org, we offer chemical-free products to people around the world, detoxifying, self-healing, while rebuilding the immune system. We urge our listeners to please consider our largest-selling product, Microplant Powder. Our microplant powder is rich in silica and probiotics to help rebuild the immune system and to create a healthy stomach flora. Microplant powder is excellent for daily intake and is perfect to add to your storage shelter. We urge our listeners to please visit us at hempusa.org. And remember, all of our products are chemical-free and healthy to eat. We constantly strive to give you the best service, highest quality, and rapid shipping anywhere. And we offer free shipping on orders over $95 in the U.S. Please visit us at hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. That's 908-691-2608. See what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you at hempusa.org.
They all laughed when I told them my body cleansing tonic was tea. But after 10 days, my body feels way more energized, and I've lost nearly 15 pounds. They're not laughing now.
That's what John from Oklahoma said about Life Change Tea.
In the 6 months of being on the tea, all my digestive problems have cleared up. My energy levels have gone way up, and my constipation problems are no more.
And that's what Michelle from California said about Life Change Tea from GetTheTea.com, the amazing all-natural tea that cleanses your body from toxins, chemicals, bacteria, viruses, and molds, while helping to lower high blood pressure, high cholesterol, lower blood sugar levels, and help you lose weight. Life Change Tea has no caffeine and is all-natural, all-organic. Go to GetTheTea.com today or call 928-308 0408. That's GetTheTea.com or call 928-308-0408.
Life Change Tea really changes things.
Welcome back to America Tonight. Pleased to be joined by Business and Media Institute. And boy, do they have an interesting message or story to tell, one that's very familiar to many of you here in America Tonight, a lot of you listening to us in Kentucky and in the West Virginia area, talking about coal and talking about why coal is so important and why it's become attacked so much and kind of a dirty word in so many circles. But coal as an energy source has serious, serious security implications, and I'm sure Julia can fill us in on why we should pay attention to coal and trace it with Egypt and Tunisia and elsewhere in the Middle East and why we should be concerned. Julia, thanks so much for once again joining us on ATN.
Oh, thank you for having me.
All right, so you heard my statement, and it's one that you've made, with what's going on in the Middle East. Why somebody listening right now, anywhere in America, whether they're in Connecticut or Kentucky or any of those areas, why should they be saying, well, why do I care about Egypt and coal? Why should they care?
Well, I think whenever there's a disruption, political unrest in the Middle East, it would be wise for us to stop and think about our domestic energy sources. Coal is one of the most abundant energy sources we have here in the United States. It employs a good number of people in this country. It also provides more than half of our electricity. So it's a big industry. It has a powerful effect on every American's daily life, and yet it gets abused constantly by the network news media.
Yeah, and you actually did you know, you did a lot of analysis on this. And what did you find? What did the Business and Media Institute find when you looked at how it was being covered, let's just say, Cole, in mainstream news media programs?
Yeah, I looked at all three broadcast networks for all the Cole industry stories since January 1st, 2010. And I found that nearly 80% of those stories were related to tragic mining accidents. And the problem with that isn't that those things aren't newsworthy, because certainly they are, but they're the exception to the rule. This is an industry that has worked very hard to become safer, and tragedies like what we had in April of 2010 are not everyday occurrences, and they shouldn't be treated as such by the network news media, who really fail to put things into context and proper perspective for their audience.
Yeah, and coal, in this country, looking at coal and how many people actually, you know, you talk about the mining disasters, the far and few in between, and of course you don't want to see any of that, obviously we realize that, but coal to people listening, how big is coal in our lives? I think people don't realize coal. They think of it as something, they don't understand how coal is used for energy in some cases.
Right. Well, since it provides more than half of our electricity, you should be thinking about coal when you turn on your lights or when you power up your computer or, you know, whenever you run your dishwasher or your toaster or if you have an electric stove, like I do, all of those things, in many cases are powered by coal. So, that's what people should be thinking about before they start hating on this particular industry.
Yeah, no kidding. And of course, a lot of people in the coal industry, and you know this too, they're not saying that they don't want to get along with other alternatives, but they're saying that, wow, how did we become the target? When did that start happening? Was it because of a few of the accidents that happened, or just because, okay, environmentalists decided to zero in on coal and say it's dirty, it's that we can't have this in the environment? Was that it, or just a combination?
Well, I think, you know, King Coal has been attacked by the left for many years. Most recently, most of those attacks come in the guise of global warming alarmist rhetoric. That's certainly what we see in the network news media, that they call it dirty and dangerous and polluting, and they rarely put it into perspective of how desperately we need it as a power source right now, because, you know, if coal is powering more than half of our electricity, that means that everything else we have, nuclear, hydroelectric, solar and wind, and anything else out there, that isn't even able at this point to make up more than half of our energy mix. We can't just immediately do away with coal. Yet the Obama administration is taking steps through the Environmental Protection Agency to limit the amount of coal that can be produced, particularly in Appalachia.
Oh, yeah. Touche. Well said. That's it. Exactly. We'd be remiss not to ask you this, Julia, since we have you here, of course, and you get all those facts and figures. You do such a great job at BMI. One of the other things that you were talking about this week is the fact that we've just gone through the second anniversary of the $787 billion stimulus package. As you can imagine, this is a hot button for many who listen to America Tonight, because we see unemployment. It's well over 8%, and some of the guarantees, of course, haven't happened. But despite all of that, and I completely agree with, I think, some of your findings, hardly anyone covers the fact that this is a smashed promise, right?
Right.
Are you seeing that in the numbers that you've been able to find?
No, you know, and I don't have those numbers in front of me, but I do, you know, I helped with this report, and it's something that we've covered ever since the stimulus there were all these grand promises about what the stimulus was going to accomplish, and somehow it was going to create millions of jobs, and it was going to keep unemployment below 8%. What happened really, of course, we all know this, unemployment went as high as 10.2% nationally, and it's now at 9%. That's still way above the promise. It's clearly failed, and yet, if I remember correctly, we found that only 9 stories on the network news in the last 2 years have even mentioned that promise.
Yeah, yeah, oh yeah. And less than 2% of the stories even referred to the prediction in the two
yeah.
full years of the coverage that they actually promoted the stimulus instead of the other. And it's interesting, you did say something, in fairness, it's true. You compare it to the previous president who was forced to defend, what was it, less than, I didn't really even think about this number, I knew it was low, but less than 5% yeah. unemployment during the entire time of his presidency, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's accurate.
Right, absolutely. George Bush, under George W. Bush, unemployment went below 5%. That's historically low unemployment, and yet over and over again, what we saw from the network news media were attacks on him, predictions that the unemployment rate was going to jump, that it couldn't last, that a recession was just around the corner. The way that they spun unemployment under Bush was the exact opposite of the way that they spin it under Barack Obama.
Yeah, no kidding. So this would be interesting to ask you. I haven't thought of this before because we've focused on particularly, you know, the issues. But how do you do that? And I've always been fascinated by this because you have such great numbers. What do you do? And you go through the broadcast at ABC, CBS, NBC, all of those. How do you gather a lot of this information you get at the Business and Media Institute?
Well, I'll speak specifically about my coal study. What I did was I pulled all of the stories mentioning coal since January 1st, 2010, from Nexus, which is a news transcribing service, printed them all out, went through them by hand to figure out which ones were actually about the coal industry and which ones weren't, tossed the ones that weren't aside, and then went through them and looked for the trends and, you know, really kept track of things as I was going through and then found out what they were really doing wrong and counted that all up. So it's a time-consuming process, but one that we certainly believe in at the Business and Media Institute, that we really need to quantify bias so people realize how overwhelming it is and that it's not just one reporter here and there, that it really is an overall theme in the news media.
Right, so you're seeing trends. I mean, so mainstream media, you know, I'll have people come say, oh, Kate, mainstream media, you know, you're telling us, because what we try to do on America Tonight is, hey, let's give you the pie. This is what we know, and here's the facts and whatever. And I'll have a lot of people that call up and say, mainstream media, are you watching? Are you watching what's going on? So do you think it's partly because, and of course this is just opinion, but do you think it's partly because of the corporations, so many of the corporations taking over a lot of these networks, ABC or CBS or whatever, and it's just kind of an underlying theme?
I don't know that it has so much to do with that, but that there is a pack mentality among journalists. There is also the limitations of broadcast media. They tend to go with whatever is most exciting, and they tend not to break things and really explain them, which is something that the print media pretty much always does a little bit better than the broadcast, although they'll still be very liberal tilted. But they, you know, a newspaper has more space to explain what's wrong, and broadcast journalists will rarely not get into all of the details that they should to clarify things for their audience.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's a soundbite. And the lack of time, and, of course, the shrinking as well, too. Julia Seymour,
yeah.
Thanks so much from the Business and Media Institute. As always, we appreciate you stopping by here on America Tonight.